Morning, Boker Tov. Today's Amud Inoy Raisa, Yumadav Ayin Ches Amud Beis. Yuma Ayin Ches Amud Beis. Quickly to review Ayin Ches Amud Aleph. First, the conversation was continuing the discussion of the stream that's going to emanate in Bayis Shlishi, Yecheskel's vision of the stream is going to emanate from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It starts off very, very, very narrow, right? Like the antennas of a locust. It gets wider and wider and wider till it got to Beis David, where it was a raging stream, but a strong stream. They were able to go into the mikvah over there. Nashim, and males also. Zavis, Yeledes, they were able to go into the mikvah there. But we said it was only safe to go up to the waist because those were swiftly moving waters. Going into the waters much higher up to the neck would be dangerous there. And when the Gemara had discussed the day before about going through, wading through waters on Yom Kippur to get to his Rebbe, to get to his father, to get to his Pardes, that was talking about waters that were calm, right? The Gemara was so focused on the difference of Rechitza, of washing on Yom Kippur, why it's not an issue. But the Gemara was just bothered, side point, isn't it a concern of danger up to the neck? And we're explaining, no, only swift moving waters are a problem, like the ones, that stream coming out of the base of Middash, but regular, calm, passive waters are not an issue. That was the end of that conversation. Then the Gemara got back into a discussion about whether there's a concern of wearing shoes through these waters. Yom Kippur came with shoes anyway, but on Shabbos, is there a concern about wearing shoes there? Or do we say they may fall off, and if they fall off, you don't come to carry? So we say shoes, we said, was not a problem. Sandals, we said, ultimately we said, you can wear sandals, which are looser, you're allowed to still wear them, but l'chatchila not to. Rashi says, l'chatchila not to wear sandals because we're concerned it may fall off, may go to wear them. And then we introduced the idea of not sitting on mud, surprisingly enough. Why? Because there's a tiny there. Yeah, it may make oneself dirty, but the moisture that goes in, that seeps through, if it's very moist, it's enough to give him pleasure, like he's sitting in a bath or the like, and therefore that's problematic. And then we discussed the whole latter part of the daf was, of the Amud, I should say, was about actually, well, I skipped one topic, which was holding a cup full of water. If it's mamish full, there's a concern that maybe it's going to spill over on the hands and when wash himself. Then the Amud discussed that if it's a porous material, like earthenware, it seeps through, is also a problem. And then he brought him on the Mishnah, says, even if it's half full, if it's made of silver, and it can either be slippery, or, that's Rashi, other Shem learn any material, not just silver, it could fall out of his hands, and even a half cup you shouldn't be holding, because it could spill and be rechitza. And he said, from Rambam, any metals, he made kind of like a middle madriga, not any material, but not just silver, any metals is problematic. And then the last discussion of the day was, on Yom Kippur and on Tisha B'Av, this notion of preparing a wet cloth, a wet towel, towel the day before Yom Kippur, they would be wrung out, so you don't have an issue of schita because you can't drink, you can't squeeze on Yom Kippur either any liquid, anything that's moist. But they would wring it out, and then the next day it would be used to either just cover the eyes to cool off or to wipe the hands, face, and feet. And Tisha B'Av, same idea, without wringing it out, because Tisha B'Av, no schita issues. Again, just same issues of rechitza, but no schita issues. So they would actually moisten the towel and not even wring it out and use it the next day. Again, Pashas on Yom Kippur, it was just for the covering the eyes. And on Tisha B'Av, it was for hands, face, and feet, but it could be opposite as well. Okay, let's pick up the Gemara. We're at the bottom. Actually, I left out, I'm sorry. We were in the middle of two questions there of Menashe B'Tachlifa, center of Amram, two questions that were asked Rabbi Elazar. The first question we already went through yesterday, I'll reference it again quickly, and that is not, we're not going to focus on today, that is not relevant to our Sigi B'Chlal of Yom Kippur. It was a side question, but only because the second question is related to Yom Kippur, we quoted the package of both questions. The first question was, those that are already Chavrei Sanhedrin, the members of Sanhedrin, were they restricted to the rule that only the Nasi had rights to Paskin about Bechiris, it's a Balmum or not? Were they restricted to that rule, to that guideline, or not? That was the Shaila. Is it Pshat? Do we say, since they were on Sanhedrin, they're not restricted? Do we say, no, it was a cover for the Nasi, and therefore it's so restricted, and they brought a Maisa of a great-grandfather of a Kayan, who went, and a great-grandfather, sorry, who went and asked the Nasi, if he could possibly see, that they had to carry Rishus, and the Mara said, no, you got the story wrong. That great-grandfather was a Kayan himself, and a Kayan to Paskin on Mum is a problem, because he's in a game of Duffer. So the Lacha with the Shaila was, could he Paskin for someone else's behemoth? His own baby can't Paskin for someone else's, which is actually a Machlekes Tanayim, Rameir and Rishu Gomil, and the Psak was, like Rishu Gomil, yes, he could Paskin for someone else. By the way, just to, before you start the Gemara, on the bottom of the page, Suha Kambayle, that's what we're up to, just,
don't know if you mentioned yesterday, we know this concept of psak in Hira, in smicha, called yadin yadin and yair yair, right? That's whether a person is able to paskin, you know, is veter, dine mominus, right? There's different smichas. So there was a smicha license called, I'm forgetting now, hitabacheris, being matabacheris. And that's from this, that's because they made a special category, even though it wasn't necessarily its own. I mean, it is on sugya, but it wasn't necessarily that needed a full separate smicha. But because they gave a license dafka to the nasi as a chashivas, so therefore it got its own shame of licensing. You have to go to the nasi to get that enter. It got its own shame of hitir b'cheres. Okay, v'zukam b'leit. Another shall ask Rabbi Lazar, and this does relate to Yom Kippur. Last word, line of the page. Mahu latzis b'sandal shell tap on base sham. Can one go out on Yom Kippur, Yom Kippurim, can go out on Yom Kippur with a sandal of Sham? Sham they teach Rashi, Tap Rashi, Minguma. It's like, they teach it in English, it's like a rush. It's a reed type of material. So it's made from like reeds. So it's not a real shoe. It's not mamish wood. It's made from like, you know, like little like, you know, twigs or reeds or the like. Could you walk out on Yom Kippur with such a shoe? Amar mitzvah bar nachmei al raglav. Bar nachmei al raglav. Mitzvah bar nachmei gap on his feet. Amar he said. Any reason to be Shimon Levi she'atz b'sandal shasham. Yom Kippurim Isur Shimon Levi going out with a sandal of sham on Yom Kippur. V'aminu and I said to him, b'tanis siber mai. And I asked him, okay, good. You're wearing it on Yom Kippur. What about b'tanis siber? Could you wear this as well? Amar li leishna. And he said to me, no different. Just like I wear it in Kippur, I can also wear it on a tanis siber. Let's pause. What tanis siber are we talking about? So a regular tanis siber doesn't have the chamesh yiruyim. So what are we talking about? So we're talking about, the Rashi explains, basically the Martinus, that they used to have, when there's a shortage of rain, they would enact Tanesim on the Tzibur, because it's Sarah. So those Tanesibers did have the five Inuyim. Rashi explains, the Tanesibur that was enacted because of a lack of rain, those Tanesibers had the five Inuyim, and that was the question, you're allowing to wear this reed-like shoe, this shoe of Sham. On Yom Kippur, Rabbi Shimon Levi, you're wearing it. Could you wear that also in Tanis Seber? Where you have the five Inuyim like Yom Kippur? What's the obvious Tanis? Why would a person say Yom Kippur? So Teshuvah explains, we have a klal. Chacham asu chizik l'dvayim, yeis v'shatera. The din of Yom Kippur is the din Torah, even though we discussed whether the four Inuyim outside of Achil Ashtia are din Torah. Maybe those are also in Drabanan, but the overall idea of Yom Kippur, fasting and Inuyim, is din Torah. The fast that were enacted because of lack of rain, right, Esara, those are complete rabbinic enactments. Maybe it needs more of a chizik, and therefore maybe this shoe that was permissible Yom Kippur, this reed-like shoe, is going to be answered. The response was no, Leishna is no different. Now, a side point, but very relevant, is that Rashi's explaining, we're talking about a fast for rain, like the Martinus, and those fasts have the five Inuyim. There is a Ramban, in Sefer Teres Adon, the Ramban says that on regular fasts, Asar Batavis, Tzom Gedalia, regular fasts, the halach is one should keep all the five Inuyim. One should keep all the five Inuyim that we keep by on Yom Kippur. The Mishnah brings Bal Nefesh Achmer, unbelievable. Bal Nefesh should keep the five Inuyim. Halach Lamaisa, there are those that say specifically opposite, that the accepted practice is not to do it, and therefore even Tzad Chumra, a person should not keep the five Inuyim, and Halach Lamaisa seems to be the general consensus. Some people are Machmer not to take, let's say, a hot shower on a fast day, but again, the place can bring even that pashtus. Is not necessarily, again, Mishnah Berurah holds a Banaf Shabbi Machmer on the five Inuyim. So certainly, right, certainly a hot shower, but the place can seem to be more makel. Okay, says the general consensus. Says more further. Amad, we just saw that. Amar Rabbi Rachana. Ani Risi Es Rabbi Lazar Beninve. Ais Rabbi Lazar Beninve. She Yotzei B'Sandal Shasham B'Tanis Siber. That on a Tanis Siber, a Tanis, for lack of rain, this time, the way we go with Rashi's Pshat, I saw him go out with a sandal of Sham. Bam Kasha, I forgot where this is brought down. Rabbi Elazar was from Nineveh. If you, the Mar Tainus references that in Nineveh they never had these Tainus Sebers, either because they never had lack of rain or that was not Nagi there. They never had these Tainus Sebers. So how could Rabbi Elazar from Nineveh ever be dealing with Tainus Seber? The answer is very simple. Exactly. Used to have for years, people were known. These days we have last names. But back in the day, the last name was Salanter, right? Or he's from Salant, right? The people are known by the place they were from. Doesn't mean they're living there right now. And that's the answer, exactly like Oshel Alexander says. That's the answer they give, that Rabbi Elazar was from Nineveh, but the story didn't take place in Nineveh. But he's wearing shoes of a sandal made of the sham on a Tanis Seber. Rabbi Elazar said to him, Bikur Mai, the other way. What about Yom Kippur? Which is more understandable to us. A Tanis Seber you can wear, but maybe not Yom Kippur. And Amrli, Leishna, no different. Same idea, same sock, both directions. That you're allowed to wear this both on Yom Kippur and on a Tanasibur. Rabbi Nafik b'dehitni. Rabbi Yehuda used to go out b'dehitni again. That's another type of reed-like material. Abay Nafik b'hutzi. He went out with hutzi's palm leaves as a shoe. Rav Nafik b'diabli. Rav went out with a shoe made of grass. Rabbi Afuna carved sudra akari v'nafik. He would wrap a kerchief around his foot and go out. The point is, all these things are not shoes, even if they add some layer of protection. We'll call it. It's not really the protection of shoes, and therefore they're going to be permissible on Yom Kippur. Masa Ramar Chama Ramar Chama asks from the Mishnah in Shabbos Samchei Hakita Yitzib Hakita Nevachas, a person who's amputated foot Yitzib Kaf Shleik, go out with his wooden foot. Different mayor, basically Acer. Now the question for their Shabbos, of course, is whether it's considered carrying. Shabbos is a shail of carrying, right? No problem with shoes. The problem is if it's a shoe, it's like a beged, then it's fine. But if it's not considered like attached to you, it's carrying. But we have Machlekes over there. Ramar says you. Kita could go out with this wooden foot, and Rebbe says he cannot. V'tani Allah, here's the part that we need. The Brisa teaches B'sham and Shalos says B'yom Kippurim. Everyone agrees that Kippur Tasser. So we see even this abnormal type of shoe, this wood like replacement for a foot, is considered like a shoe, and it's Tasser and Kippur, and therefore. So the Farshim point out Elacharev when we say B'sham and they both agree that's Tasser on Yom Kippur. Why would they say it's Tasser on Yom Kippur? Meaning Ramer holds it's not a problem of Itza. It must be we're saying that it's a problem of a shoe of Yom Kippur. Even though they argue Gabi Shabbos, whether or not it's a problem of Itza, the Gabi Yom Kippur, they both agree that it's Aser, Bukhir, presumably because it's considered a shoe. Rabbiye, Hasam Ispek Sisim. You know what's considered a shoe over there? That wooden foot has pieces of like material, like rags inside it, which I'm tightening. That's already comfortable. It's not stam. That's like a shoe, that's like a base with some rags. That's comfortable, and therefore that's why it's a problem there. Amei Rava, Rava says, 1 second. Vila manu, ksisimashle mana. I understand. Until now it wasn't a shoe. So because you have some rags and cushion there, that makes it a shoe? It's not a shoe. V'ayin, am I saying because of the rags, it makes it tainug. It's kishmak. V'ayin, kol tam d'lav, manal. La manal, who? B'yam kippur, b'yasir. Any tainug that's not related to shoe, meaning, no, that doesn't mean shoe, it means any one of the five inuyim. Any tainug not related to asir, not every tainug is asir. The Gemara brings examples. V'rab Ravuna, havikarach sudra akari b'nafik. Rab Ravuna, we quoted before, he would wrap a kerchief around his foot that certainly feels good. And he'd walk around, Teret is not a shoe, therefore it's not a problem. So just because there's cloth there, shouldn't make it a problem. V'ayin, furthermore, I'm asked, a third question, Mitani Seifa, Imesh Ba Beis Kibo, Ksisin Tamei. The Seifa says over there, if there is a base Kibo for Ksisin, if the wooden base replacement of the foot has an area to receive Ksisin, it's a clay Kibo now, it's a receptacle, and therefore it's Tamei, it's susceptible. That means Mamish Tamei, it means it's royal Kapatumba. But what do you see? You're introducing now the fact that it could be susceptible, the fact that it now could be a receptacle, I should say, for ksisin. But called the ratio, love it to say ksisin, you know. The ratio was no matter case of ksisin. So Rav has many issues with a biased interpretation of the mission over there talking about a wooden fake foot which has a place for ksisin. It's clear the ratio is not talking about that. Elam Rav, therefore, Rav says, La'ilam kitukama minalu. Go back and say, everyone agrees this wooden foot is a shoe. Wooden foot is considered a shoe. Uva Shabbos, on Shabbos, Machlekes isn't, if it's a shoe, what's the issue? If it's a shoe, you don't have shoes on Shabbos. The issue is this more likely to fall off and you may have to carry it? That's the issue with Shabbos. And therefore, the guy may have kippur, because it's usher, because it's a shoe. That's different. We're not saying you're wearing a fake shoe and treating it like a shoe. That's mamish a shoe. That wooden replacement for the foot is mamish a shoe. And it's different than our cases of reeds or palm leaves, which is nothing. I suppose the machlokes by Shabbos if it's a shoe, but pligi the marasavar because you're doing mishdamet it's going to slide off. Vasla sui ar amos. Rav Yosi's concerned it's going to slide off and you have to carry for amos. Marasavar because you're a mayor again is not concerned. The mayor is not worried that's going to slip off, and therefore we're not going to even ask him at their button. But that's certainly considered a shoe, and therefore for Yom Kippur it would be us. A tana button. For Yom Kippur it would be us for also carrying it. Oh, very good. So you're onto something. So the Ran discusses not by this case of by the case of this amputee shoe, but the Ran discusses. Let's go back to the case of the shoe made of a shoe made of sham of these reeds. So Ran says, "Manavshach, if they're a shoe l'gabi and kippur, if they're not a shoe l'gabi and kippur, then we should be this is actually a little different than what you're saying. But let's just remind me of the question. So let's speak out now. If they're a shoe, it's probably a yom kippur. If it's a shoe, and if it's not a shoe." Then why isn't it masri? Carrying a kippur is aser. you're focused on Shabbos. Carrying Yom Kippur, no, you're also focused on Yom Kippur. Carrying Yom Kippur, yeah. So why is that a problem of carrying on Yom Kippur? Manav Shev. These, if it has the status of a shoe, you can't wear it because it's a shoe. Elamai, it's not a shoe, then the same way you wouldn't be able to wear it on Shabbos if it's not a shoe, because it's not Derech Malbush, that's considered carrying, so Yom Kippur also should be a problem. As I affect the Ran about the reed, you were discussing about the amputees thing, but the Ran's asking about the reed-like shoes. As I affect the Ran, Lechera, how do we have this, this Manav Shev issue? So the Ran brings from Rambam, the Enechanami. When we talk about wearing these shoes, unbelievable, it means indoors. It means indoors. Meaning, we're saying these reed-like shoes, even though we said all these people would go out with them on Shabbat, on Yom Kippur, sounds like it was outdoors. We're saying, no, it was in a place where carrying is permissible. Either Erev or Chatzar, carrying is permissible. Carrying is not an issue. None of us, this shoe is wearing shoes, not a problem because it's not considered a shoe. So you have to say it's not a shoe, but we're talking about a place where carrying is not an issue. That is how the Ran brings sense for the Rambam. But Ran himself says a yush chiddush. This is a nice chap chiddush. Ran says, very geshmak, it's not considered a shoe to be us to wear Yom Kippur. But since on Yom Kippur you can't wear regular shoes, this becomes the norm for Yom Kippur. Legabe, it's not a problem. Two-step process. Legabe, wearing shoes on Yom Kippur which you can't wear, it's not considered a shoe. Since it's not considered a shoe, it's not a problem for the Alsi Chamish Yinuyim. Narvas, once you kasha, once it's not a shoe, it should be a problem of itzah, carrying. Again, we're assuming there's an issue of Yesh Erev Itzah Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is an issue of carrying. So why is that a problem? Fact around that was Manav Shach. Answers the Ran, once normal shoes are usher, so abnormal shoes become the norm. And once it's the norm, it's not a problem of itzah. Shemak HaChesben from the Ran. Just a quick lemaisa before we go further. So lemaisa, we say the Rif is matter, any shoe that's not leather, Rif says mutter. Leather's also, anything not leather is mutter. Rashi seems to hold that wood is also going to be also, which fits well with what we're saying over here about these wooden, the wooden foot. Wood is also going to be also like leather. The Balmar is most machmer, he says, kol mili de megan. Any protection of the foot that is a real, that's a decent protection, is going to be usher, also wearing a shoe and kippur. Halach lamaisa, we seem to pass like the Rif. We're machmer specifically on leather shoes, anything not leather, we're not machmer, we wear, people wear probably shoes that are a million times better than whatever shoe they had back in the day. They wear sneakers and comfortable, I mean, somewhat comfortable shoes. Lamaisa, there was a famous psak. I don't know why it came out dafka by the Crocs. The doctors and nurses who wear Crocs, because people on the feet all day wear Crocs because of how comfortable they are. And Crocs in general became very popular about 10, 15 years ago, at least. And Rabbi Yashav Zatzal issued a psak. I don't know if he said you're not allowed to, but strongly recommended against wearing Crocs on Yom Kippur. Again, I don't know if that was a luchik issue. Lechari with leather, law probably his mutter. Maybe more that was just he felt it was not the right, wearing the most comfortable shoes that you wear all year on Yom Kippur. Punk, you know, the piece of when you want to get comfortable, you wear Crocs. So to wear those shoes on Yom Kippur, maybe felt as out of the spirit of the halacha. Okay, but it was brought down from Yashav not to wear Crocs. I don't think most of the felt is makbid. Tanarban. Tanaikis. Sorry? Tanu Rabbanan. Tanaikis Matar Makul Chatzmina Sandal. Tanaikis Shilton permissible in all the five Inuyim are not a problem for them, except wearing shoes is a problem. Ask Marashal Nisandal, Dami Inchi Avdle. What's the problem with Nisandal? Because this is really a whole sugya in of itself. This line, we're just going to touch on it, but this is a real sugya. Dami Inchi Avdle. What's the problem with Nisandal? Why children can't wear shoes? Because people are going to say the adult did it for him. And what's that problem? The pasuk says, it's a famous Rasha, Le Seichlum Kishakatim. A person shouldn't eat these shkatzim rasim, because they're shekets on the ground. And the Gemara makes the drasha, Yivamus Kuf Yadalad, elsewhere, Leisachilim. This is a classic idea that there's an issur to feed, even though a katan eichel nevelis, ein bez mitzvah lafrisha, you don't have to stop him from being under an issur, per se, he's not a bar mitzvah, he's not a mechuyav mitzvahs, but to feed issur to a katan is a problem. To feed issur to a katan is a problem. And therefore, a person should not go, even though a katan is not allowed to eat. A katan will say, you have to stop him from eating, we'll say, basaf chalav, or from eating chazer, but to feed him is a problem. By putting a katan wearing shoes, it's assumed that a gadol put the shoes on him, and therefore, that's a problem over here of leisachilim. People are going to say that the katan didn't put the shoes himself. The adult put the shoes on him, and therefore, same idea, leisachilim is not just eating, apparently, it's any isser, and therefore, it's usser, we don't allow the children to wear these shoes on Yom Kippur. This is all discussion about feeding children of Kippur. How do you feed the children? Leisachilim is Israchila. Now, Teretz says, for the Kishon is not usher because they're Mechir to fast. But you're going in a circle. It's not a food that's, this goes back to the discussion we've had in the past, that the food of Yom Kippur is not inherently usher. It's not chazer. It's not basar chalav. It's not tree for food. It's just right now is a time that you can't eat. Well, the kids don't have the isser, so maybe, okay, fine. But the point is that there is discussion about whether it's better not to feed a child that's able to eat on his own. Is it better just to put the food in front of the child and let him eat, but not to actually feed the child? Avad the child that can't eat on his own, 100%, you feed the child, chas v'shalom, to not feed the child. Okay, by the way, this is a concept of leis achilam, big sugya in and of itself. And our Gemara is saying that's why you don't put shoes, you don't allow the children to wear shoes on Shabbos, on Yom Kippur, even if they're going to put it on their own, people are going to think adults put it on, that's a problem. Says Gemara, what do you mean? Same story. Because we're concerned people are going to say that the adults put it on the child. Well, if the child comes in nice and bathed or nice and anointed, I mean, aren't people going to say that the adults did it? Same problem. And somewhere, no, when the child comes and looks nice and clean or anointed, people could say, it happened yesterday. It didn't happen on itself. It didn't happen on itself. Whereas the shoes, well, the Gemara assumes this must be from today. Ask Mara, why? Maybe the child went to bed with shoes on. Maybe the parent put the child in the shoes on Erev Yom Kippur. Child went to sleep and he's walking around today in shoes from yesterday. Says the Gemara, sandal left should the mess ma'avdei. Sandal can't be from yesterday. You probably have heard this in the past. Here's the Gemara. One who wants to taste a taste of death. Go to sleep with shoes on. It's considered an unhealthy thing to sleep with shoes on, and therefore no one's going to assume the child slept with shoes. It must be the shoes we put on today, and an adult put it on. So that's a problem because we assume the adult is putting it, the child himself can wear shoes, but the adult putting shoes on the child is a problem. I wonder, therefore, if it would be an issue. We talk about a young child, a 12-year-old boy, an 11-year-old boy. He's not bar mitzvah yet. Parents are not putting shoes typically on 11, 12-year-old children, for the, right? As a general rule, right? They're way past that stage. So over there, you're not going to say the parent did it. So maybe that's going to be an issue. It's dafka tonight, because young children. Dafka young children. Okay, you get something else. But the point is, if the concern is, you're right. There's separate issues of, you're supposed to actually, if you have kibbutz in particular, actually, you have to put it down. You're supposed to try to have the child fast a little bit, even before bar mitzvah. You're supposed to try to do a little bit of the, you know, take on the altschinach, take on a little bit of the, you know, avayda sayayim. Fine, but the point is, from this concern at least, that people are going to say you put it on, the chur, that wouldn't be a concern. Fine. Says Gemara, but we still have a problem. Because the lashon was that tanaikas are mutter bakulon. Mutter sounds like mutter lechatchila. Says Gemara, you're right. Elahanach delav revisayu gazrabanan. Hanach revisayu le gazrabanan. Simple. Wearing shoes is not necessary for the child's development. And therefore, there's no allowance for them to wear shoes on Yom Kippur. Whereas, being bathed, clean, and anointed, it's really part of the raising of a child, and therefore they were in gezer by a child. Abaye says, mother told me, you know, famously points out many times in the past, Abaye's mother died in childbirth. When she gave birth to him, she died. So Abaye's mother is always a stepmother. Abaye is called Nachmeni often. He was raised by Rabba Bar Nachmeni. Rabba Bar Nachmeni, Rabba was his Rebbe. Rabba's Rebbe, right? Rabba raised Abaye because he was an orphan. So anyway, Amar Le'im is his stepmother or his nurse. Either way, she said to me, Ravisa, but what's ironic is, probably the Amira that quotes the mother most in Shas, I don't want to say Chas V'Shalom overcompensating, Chas V'Shalom, but the Amira that quotes his mother the most in Shas is who? Abaye constantly quotes Amar Le'im, and it's not actually his mother. Amar Le'im, Ravisa Dinuka Maya Chamime Mishcha. The development of a young child requires bathing in warm water and anointing with oil. Gadol Purta b'yas b'chuchta. When he gets a little older, it requires egg with kutach. Gadol Purta gets a little older. Tabura money. It means you have to bring him. This is a very unique one. Bring him kalim to break. And Rashi explains in order to let out his impulses, his aggression, you can bring kalim to break. Kiha, and we bring a right to this last one. The rabbis of the money because he's pachar levetle. He's by already like. Cracked kalim, semi-cracked for his child, and the child would break the kalim. Very interesting. Maybe these days we have hockey or basketball as another outlet. Very interesting. That was an outlet back in the day. Smashing kalim was an outlet. Sounds like fun, to be honest, but it was an outlet. It's not something which is common today. Okay. Hamelech v'kala, just a couple more lines. Hamelech v'kala, a melech and a kala, even though we said most people cannot wash in Yom Kippur, melech and kala, they can wash their faces. Yirkut supaneim. Basis Amad, who's the author of Mishnah? Rachanan ben Tragedy. The time with Tanakhama says they cannot wash their faces. That's the Chachamim. Rechanan ben Tragedy email. Mishum Rabbi Lezer, the name of Lezer, Hamel Fakala Yichus Pneim, the Melchala can wash their faces. Next, Hachaya Latinel is the Tanel. The Chaya, the new mother, Shana, the Kibbutah, should not walk around in sandals, that meaning even her, according to Chamim, and of course no one else. But Chaim ben Tarja, name Rabbi Elazar, again, name Rabbi Elazar, Chaim ben Tarja teaches, she could wear sandals. The Gemara just explains. My time was Rabbi Elazar being lenient by the Kala and the Melech, the guy be washing the face, and the new mother with the sandals. She explains, Melech, Meshum Tachsev, Melech, Biafia, Tachsev, Einech, it's a Pasek. He should always be in a splendor. Kala, my time, they should have this Kana Bala. She shouldn't become this disgusting, so to speak, to her new husband. There's a big concern right in the beginning of the marriage until the relationship was more settled. Amalei Rav Chia, so how long? Kalat Kama, till when is she called the Kala for this purpose? Amalei, can the time, like we learned the Baisa, Eimanu Tachshitim Kala Kshayim Yayim. We don't withhold from the Kala Tachshitim for 30 days. This is talking about by Avelis, right? The beginning of Kedusha discusses about Chasen Kala Nebuch getting married under a story where one of the mother and father, one of the parents of the Chasen Kala die. So you do the Chasna, and then they do Shev Brachas, and then they do Avelis, but you don't withhold from the Kala. Even then, for the first 30 days after the wedding, you don't withhold makeup, because it's very important. It's that same thing over here. We're talking about washing her face for the first 30 days of marriage. She can wash her face as if Yom Kippur falls out in that time. Hachaya tino as the sandal mishum tzina. Why is the chaya able to wear the sandal? Because tzina, because the coldness of the ground apparently affects the chaya, affects her. It's more harmful for her. Amar Shmuel, stop with this. Imach masachonas akrav. If wearing shoes is for purpose of protecting from an akrav, from being bitten by a scorpion, mutter. It's mutter. Shmuel wasn't talking about just for the isha, for the kimpenta, for the newborn, the new mother. He's talking about for any person. Any person, if you're in a place where there's scorpions on the ground, so if you're wearing shoes to protect from scorpions, then it's mutter. Some place may think you say if you're walking on a place where there's rocks and pebbles, and you have to get from place to place, you could wear a protection shoes just for that, and then take it off and get to the place. Same idea, because it's not there for comfort or for standard protection. It's for protection from actual pain that you're allowed to do. Okay, the question is, I mean, that's really a bigger leap. Akrav is mamish dangerous. The first question we discussed, the belief over this, a question the other way. Akrav is dangerous, is considered potentially, harmful for death. So you need a chiddush. You're allowed to eat Yom Kippur if it's a question of life and death. So why does Shmuel need to say this chiddush? The first question, ask us a question and address what the chiddush Shmuel is supposed to hear. Have a wonderful day.